Gene Attack. He's going to talk about distribution of plant bugs, infestation, and the effect of spraying timing in the mid-Atlantic cotton.
All righty. Thanks, Alejandro. As he stated, my name is Seth Dorman. I'm a graduate student from Virginia Tech, and I'll be talking with you about the distribution of tarnished plant bug Liguus linearis infestations and the effects of spray timing in mid-Atlantic cotton. So Liguus linearis has been a devastating pest in the Mid-South for the past several decades. However, we've only recently started observing economically damaging populations of linearis in mid-Atlantic cotton since 2010. This figure shows the percentage of acres sprayed for linearis in Virginia and North Carolina from 1996 to 2016. We can see that growers started spraying more heavily for linearis in North Carolina in 2010, represented in the black line, and in Virginia in 2013, with close to 100% of acres sprayed for linearis in these states in 2016, and we had another bad year in 2017 as well. I briefly mentioned several linearis biology and ecology facts relevant to the study. For NIP identification, early instars are mostly green. Later fourth and fifth instar NIPs pictured here have a yellowish-green body color with five prominent black markings, four on the thorax and one on the abdomen. Adults have a yellowish-brown body color with a conspicuous Y shape on the scutellum and longitudinal black and brown rays on the pronotum. Linearis is the most common Liguus species in North America, with over 300 documented hosts and a preference for broadleaf weedy hosts. Several common primary weedy hosts of linearis of Virginia are daisy fleabane and common ragweed, pictured here. Linearis tends to feed and reproduce on these primary weedy hosts until they senesce midsummer, and then will migrate into secondary cultivated hosts like cotton. Overwinter as adults and complete one generation fairly quickly in 33 days, so in warmer years, linearis can break diapause early and begin reproducing. This may be one of the reasons why we've seen an increase in infestations of Virginia and North Carolina with consistently warmer summers. And known resistance to a variety of insecticide chemistries, primarily pyrethroids and organophosphates. So linearis feeds on a variety of cotton fruiting structures. These include small squares, flowers, and even small bolls. Internal bolt injury is a great indicator of linearis feeding damage. Specifically, this includes warts, punctures, and stained lint. The objectives of this research is to first measure the spatial and temporal distribution of linearis in Virginia cotton. Second, to observe the effects of spray timing on linearis density, plant injury, and lint yield. And third, evaluate the relationship between linearis infestation timing, plant injury, and lint yield. To assess the spatial and temporal distribution of linearis, we had 23 representative cotton fields in 8 Virginia counties that we sampled weekly. And we used sweep net and drop cloth sampling in an X configuration across each field and calculated linearis density by summing the total number of adult and nymphal captures for both sampling techniques. This is a distribution map of linearis in Virginia in 2017. The first three maps here represent mean linearis density averaged over a 3-week time period. The bottom right-hand map represents combined data for the entire sampling period, June 26th through August 27th. Each dot represents one of our 23 field locations, and dots in red represent fields that average at or above the spray threshold for a given time period. We saw that infestations increased throughout the season and peaked from August 7th through August 27th. We found linearis at all of our field locations, 16 of which average at or above the spray threshold at some point throughout the season. If we only look at our combined data, we see a clustering of infestations towards the eastern side of the sampling area, so future work will try to find potential landscape features that may be increasing the risk of linearis infestations. To observe optimal spray timing, we allowed linearis to infest research plots naturally. We had a total of 56 plots arranged in a split plot design, with 2 planting dates as whole plots and 7 spray treatments as split plots. And we measured linearis and stink bug density weekly, plant injury weekly, and lint yield at harvest. Our 7 spray treatments consisted of a control where we only controlled for Lepidopteran pest, a threshold treatment where we only sprayed when a threshold of 8 adults or nymphs per 100 sweeps was reached, several sprays early in the season from first square to first bloom, two sprays from the first and second week of bloom, third and fourth week of bloom, fifth and sixth week of bloom, and weekly sprays throughout the season. This figure shows the mean number of adult and nymphal captures and the y-axis for each week of sampling throughout the season and the x-axis for both our early planting date in figure A and late planting date in figure B. And the dotted line in both figures represents our spray threshold of 8 adults or nymphs. We saw high linearis densities in our control treatment, represented in the black lines, that were mostly above the spray threshold for the majority of the season. And we also saw high linearis densities when we only sprayed early in the season from first square to first bloom, represented in the purple lines, as well as when we waited until the fifth and sixth week of bloom to spray, represented in the blue lines in both figures. This figure shows percent bull injury for both of our planting dates and each of our seven spray treatments in the x-axis. And as expected, the treatments with the highest linearis densities also had the highest percent bull injury. So this suggests that when we only spray from first square to first bloom, this was likely too early, and linearis reinfested plots later in the season. Additionally, when we waited until the fifth and sixth week of bloom to spray, this was likely too late, and plants had already suffered a significant amount of injury that they weren't able to compensate for later in the season. So these data suggest that the optimal time to spray for linearis in mid-Atlantic cotton is likely in these early weeks of bloom. Additionally, we found that our threshold treatment of 8 adults or nymphs per 100 sweeps had the same injury as weekly sprays. So future work will try to find experiment with a higher spray threshold for linearis in mid-Atlantic cotton. This figure summarizes our yield data, with lint yield in pounds per acres in the y-axis for each of our seven spray treatments in the x-axis in the left chart, and each of our planting dates in the x-axis on the right chart. We found yield was greatest among our spray treatments when linearis was controlled in the early weeks of bloom, which again agrees with our density and injury results. When we only looked at our whole plot data, we found that our early planted cotton had significantly higher yields compared to our later planted cotton. If we take a closer look at our planting date yield data with lint yield in pounds per acres in the y-axis and linearis density and percent bull injury in the x-axis for our early planting date in orange and late planting date in blue, we found a higher slope and a higher R-squared correlation value in our later planting date compared to our early planting date between high linearis density and low yield, which explained 55% of variability in our yield data, as well as a higher slope and a higher R-squared correlation value between high percent bull injury and lower yield, which explained 65% of variability in our yield data for our later planting date. Therefore, in addition to managing linearis in the early weeks of bloom, planting early is also critical for maximizing yield potential. And this aerial photograph highlights the clear visual yield differences between our early and late planted cotton at harvest. So to observe the effects of infestation timing, we caged 20 plants in 2x2x2 meter cages and introduced linearis adults at 6 different growth stages, first and second week of square and first through fourth week of bloom. For each growth stage, we had a plot where we introduced 40 linearis adults with a corresponding control plot. After 7 days, we removed cages and all 10 plants in the first row were removed and assessed for missing or injured fruiting positions. Within 24 hours, we sprayed the remainder of the field to minimize continued insect feeding, and all 10 plants in the second row were left in the field to measure lint yield at harvest. This figure shows the total number of fruiting positions per plot averaged among each of our 4 replicates. For each of our 6 treatments in the x-axis, the orange columns represent the total number of positions per plot, and the blue columns represent the total number of missing or injured positions. We found that the most injury occurred when linearis was introduced to cages in the third and fourth week of bloom, which again agrees with our spray timing results and suggests that the critical period for managing linearis is in the early weeks of bloom. This is the same figure with percent injury corrected for damage observed in control plots superimposed on top of the figure in the black line. We can see that when percent injury was corrected for control damage, we see less percent injury in the fourth week of bloom treatment, but still high percent injury in the third week of bloom treatment, as well as high percent injury in the first week of square treatment, However, cotton plants are likely able to compensate for the majority of these early season losses in the first week of square treatment by putting on larger and more fruiting positions later in the season. This figure summarizes our yield data with lint yield in grams per 10 plants hand harvested in the y-axis. For each of our six treatments in the x-axis, the orange columns represent lint yield of healthy bulls, and blue columns represent lint yield of hardlocked unharvestable bulls. Additionally, we have percent yield loss corrected for yield observed in control plots superimposed on top of the figure in the black line. We found the greatest percent yield loss and lower overall yields when linearis was introduced in the first week of bloom, which again agrees with our spray timing results. Additionally, we found significantly less percent yield loss in the second week of bloom treatment. However, this was likely due to a lot of mechanical damage observed in control plots, so we hope to verify these results with another season of data collection next year. So in conclusion, we found that linearis is abundant in Virginia, and infestations will likely continue to spread across the state, so growers should continue scouting for linearis beginning at first square. We found that linearis populations peaked in mid-August, and bull injury was highest and lint yield was lowest when linearis wasn't controlled in the early weeks of bloom. We also found that our early planted cotton had significantly higher yields than our later planted cotton. So in addition to managing linearis in the early weeks of bloom, planting early is also critical for maximizing yield potential. And we also found that our spray threshold of 8 adults or nips per 100 sweeps had the same injury as weekly sprays throughout the season, so future work will experiment with a higher and more dynamic spray threshold for linearis and mid-Atlantic cotton. We'd like to thank Cotton Incorporated and the Virginia Cotton Board, as well as the USDA IPM Center for funding this research. We'd also like to thank my advisors, Sally Taylor and Sean Malone, as well as everybody in the Taylor Lab for their help and guidance with this project. And I'll be happy to take any questions.
We have plenty of time for questions.
On your initial graph, 20 acres that were treated, and one graph about the most people, like it hit like 100% of the acres. So that doesn't hit every single acre for spring, or that includes acres that were multiple sprays, including the event?
So you're saying that the, one of the first figures with the distribution? Okay, gotcha. This slide right here? Oh, gotcha.
So in this case, with the Virginia red line in 2016, it looks like 100% of the acres are sprayed. Is that just one spray per acre, or is that then multiple sprays per acre being added up to coming up to 30%?
That's a great question. I believe that's all of the acreage sprayed at least once. Yeah, so yeah. 2015 and 2016 was a pretty bad year. 2017 was the exact same. The majority of acres in North Carolina and Virginia were sprayed for linearis during these years. So this has been a pretty bad problem that seems to be only getting worse over the past few years. I'm not sure if we have any of that data, but yeah, that would be great data to have to see exactly how many sprays there. I know most growers in 2017, most growers were spraying at least twice, at least two times for Ligus. That's a good question. So there was a 7-day exposure period. So we introduced the 40 adults kind of in the evening after the heat of the day. And then we left those adults in there for a 7-week period, removed the cages, and then sprayed the remainder of the field except the plots that we were going to cage for the next week, the following week. And then, you know, after a day, we introduced 40 plant bug adults to another set of cages.
All right. Thanks, our speaker. Thanks, Ed. Appreciate it.
Thanks.